Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to CB and the Boys with Crystal CB Booker, George Biker Boy Homie, and Roger Hawkins. Coming live and direct via YouTube, Facebook, iHeart, Blog Talk Radio, and Apple Podcasts. Bringing you hot topics, interviews, live entertainment, and fun every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Central. And now, prepare to get charged up with a whole lot of fun from CB and the Boys.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to CB and the Boys. How do you like our new intro? Sounds pretty amazing, if I should say so myself. Good job on the intro, George, your biker boy, Holman. I guess it's just us in the building, George. Mimi Costa hasn't joined us yet, and Roger Hawkins has not joined us in the studio yet. So,
look at her, George. Just look at her. Just look at her.
Don't even say nothing. Just don't even say nothing.
I don't know
what she was looking at. Look, we ain't gonna talk. Nobody see that.
This is the one that does the least drinking of us all. What's really going on?
Right.
Forgive divine.
Okay, now I'm done.
How are you guys tonight? We've got some big things coming this week.
Yes, we do.
Ready? And we've got some footage for you guys. It's going to be awesome.
You got some good things.
We will actually have some all-together footage finally coming up. So that ought to be good. That ought to be fun.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Our sister Mimi can't be with us because I know she tied one on. Mimi had a birthday yesterday, so happy birthday to Mimi. We shouted her out. Yeah. What's crazy is I know a lot of birthdays yesterday. I didn't even think it was that cool of a day. But my oldest sister had a birthday. A couple of friends back home had birthdays. So apparently, I don't know. I don't know what y'all parents were doing right around New Year's. New Year's going into Valentine's Day. Yeah, we know. You know, we got some makeup babies here. I think that's what that was about. You know, if you kind of add it up, yeah, it's right around New Year's, maybe going into Valentine's Day. So there you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, happy birthday to everybody. So we'll get back with our sister next week.
Yeah.
And so instead of doing the wine list, we're going to do the yak list. We're just doing yak this time. You know, I know you already know it now.
Oh, okay. So what's on the yak list? Enlighten us.
You doing the normal, George? You doing Duce today? You doing the norm?
Bam.
I figured as much.
I only got about one glass left in there, but we don't make it work.
Exactly. I'm actually taking it, in my opinion, a little bit light today because, believe it or not, you know, I'm probably going to be taking off on y'all, fam, so that I can jump on the plane and meet you guys in Florida. I got to stop and see, you know, my family first before we all convene. So I'm actually out of here, and my flight is about 12:45 and all that. So I just want everybody to know out there, this is how much I love you guys. I'm not even done packing, and anybody that knows me is not surprised. So, yeah, I'll be cutting out. But
hey,
since I'm taking
don't
a light,
feel alone. Don't
yeah,
get me
right.
wrong.
I ain't
even started packing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm really trying to get my stuff packed. I bought new luggage, so I'm so excited. I bought a new carry-on bag.
Wow.
But since I have so many layovers, it just made sense.
No. See, right there. Y'all don't understand. I'm the king of consolidation. When I say your boy's coming with the backpack, I'm going to have about 5 outfits stuffed in there. I'm hard rolling like I was in the military. But I'll get it on there. So, yeah, I'm going to keep it light.
Yeah.
I'm going with Crown Peach today, believe it or not. For my Crown drinkers out there, I'm helping y'all out today. I'm going with the peach crown. Keep it light so that I can get on the plane and still be functioning, even though I'm going to sleep. So whatever. But anyway, it's holiday time.
It's okay.
So boom.
Once you get on the plane, you can sleep it off.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna be too bad because, in case nobody told y'all, when I catch you guys Friday after we're done with meetings and all that, it's a wrap. Now, George, you and I have definitely tied one on a few times. Cousin over here who is not much of a drinker, I pity you, I really do, but not too much. It's going to be a wrap. It's a good thing, you know, we'll be nearby. We'll be nearby the hotel.
Nice.
It'll be a good time. It'll be a good time.
Are you guys excited?
Huh?
Are you guys excited? About the trip is going to be so much fun. I'm excited. I haven't flown in years. So I'm really excited.
Really?
So excited.
Man, I haven't flown in like weeks. I might as well be a flight attendant as many miles as I fly all the time, be it for work or to go back home and visit and all that. So, you know, it's just kind of another weekend for me. It's pretty inexpensive right now. Like when people say, well, you know, what are you heading home for? What are you doing that? I mean, because I can. It's really pretty affordable. Like say, flying back to KC, it's no more expensive than a couple of tanks of gas if I were to drive to LA or somewhere like that. So why wouldn't I? It's really that inexpensive if you're not, you know, if you don't have your nose in there and you're not too worried about sitting upright for 2 hours, which I don't care about, you know. It's 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I've been uncomfortable a lot longer. And that being said, you know, I'll do a little differently heading here. But, yeah, all that to say, yeah, I'm flying all the time. It's okay. It's all right. So any chance to go to Florida, I look forward to just because, again, I have family there, friends, and, I mean, shit, it's Florida. So you got to have a good time. Even if you do a bunch of nothing, it's still going to be a good time. Sunshine.
True. Very true.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, Wayne Pierce is yelling out, what's good? Wayne, we see you, fam. Appreciate you tuning in. What's up with you? I hope your week is going well, my brother.
Hello.
Thank you for hanging.
So with me, the packing thing is going to be easy because, first of all, naturally, I'm a biker, hence George Biker Boy Holman. But with that being said, we don't have a lot of luggage space, so we pack lightly. So I'm
the master of packing lightly.
Right.
You going saddlebags or whatever, huh?
Right. And most of those got amateur speakers in them, so it still ain't that much room for clothes.
Well, you know, all y'all do is shit. Y'all just need vests with fringes or some shit on there. Y'all don't need much, you know. Y'all still trying to uphold the whole no shirt vest thing going on. Y'all about the only people that can get away with it.
Right.
That's cool.
Very
I mean,
true.
I don't even. What's the weather going to be? I don't even know. Like my expectation is, I know about
West
how
Palm
how cold it is.
Who gives a damn?
Right.
It's West Palm Beach. Who gives a damn? I'm just saying.
I mean, true.
It's going to be better than the weather in Kansas City.
I know.
I've been there every month of the year.
Humid down there, I'm sure.
It's always humid. So expect that. But I mean, I've been there in February for the Super Bowl to Florida. I've been in December to Miami for my birthday. I've been, you know, again, West Palm and Fort Lauderdale, pretty much winter time, and it's never not been nice. I mean, if it's 70, they're unhappy, and we're thinking, you know, we're in heaven. So, yeah, you're right, G. Like, who gives a damn? It's going to be nice.
Right.
If you want to bring a hoodie for the plane, go ahead. That's kind of my thought. So yeah, we'll definitely get some footage and let everybody know kind of what's going on a little bit, maybe put a few nuggets out there about what's up and coming and stuff like that for sure.
Right.
So because if I may, because I'm kind of running on borrowed time, I want to allow some time to start some shit if I may. And then, you know, people want to weigh in if they can. But, okay, so my question to you guys is real quick. Are you kind of up on the whole Issa Rae thing?
On the
So, and again, I know you guys work a lot during the day, so you don't get it. For those who don't know, Issa Rae's a lovely sister who's an actress on, and she's on a TV show. I believe Insecure is the name of the show. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. And she caught a bunch of flack over the, you know, the past week or so because in the show, she portrayed an African-American sorority member. Now, and it is an actual official African-American sorority, a.k.a., to be exact. But she caught hell all across the board, from, of course, from black people in particular, about doing that. Now, I did get a chance to read some of her response and things like that. I think she kind of took the high road. I think she handled it perfectly. I mean, some people want to call it a clap back. I just think she kind of put it to bed. She goes, look, I'm an actor. This is the role they told me to portray. This is what I portrayed. And then, you know, it was followed up by herself and other people going, guess what? How many people play doctors on TV but don't get sued for malpractice? And I was thinking, church, that's my point exactly. And so let me just say, I don't know anybody's history, but as a brother who went to college and finished, I just wanted, and again, I had this talk with my sister. I have every, you know, type of so-called Greek in my family, of course, you know. So, again, they understand my thought process, how I feel. And my sister and I talked about it today, and I think, and she agrees. We need to, by we, I mean my black sororities and fraternities and all that, need to chill the hell out getting so precious about this. And I'm going to tell you why. I understand taking seriously something that you're a part of. Any organization, if you're a part of it and you paid your dues, I get that part of it. But let's look at this from two different angles. One, you're looking at it like, oh, they're out there, you know, she's not naked, she doesn't deserve to, or whatever, deserve to portray this. Here's my thought. First of all, you should be honored that they chose your particular organization to portray on national TV. You just got free exposure. Sit your ass down and be quiet. Second of all, I think she did a fine job. It's acting. Thirdly, you're not getting paid like the national chapter isn't calling you, going, hey, we're paying you $20,000 or whatever a year to police this. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Listen, you don't know how many people I know went to school strictly to pledge. And I'm not saying that's everybody. I know far, far more graduates. But my point is, there's a lot of people out there tripping and talking shit. And look, you've got three Greek letters in your, you know, affiliated with you. But shit, you don't have BS, BA, MBA behind you. But you're worried about AKA? Sit down. You know, it's just one of those things that people need to chill out on that. It's just like when people actually want to kill someone over wearing a primary color that's not of their choosing. Are you serious? But this proves we don't have enough going on to not be worried about this kind of goofy shit. You know, it's been going on too long. And I know people say, well, you know, you can't speak on that if you're not part of it. Here's the thing. I'd be willing to bet you 95% of these so-called Greeks have never been to Athens. Probably don't know the alphabet or anything like that. I ain't met a black Stephanopoulos, Papadopoulos, or anything like that. But we're screaming at, you know, it reminds me of the movie School Days when Giancarlo Esposito jumped in Fishburne's face and was like, I am a black Greek. I will blah. And he goes on and on and on about this shit. You weren't any of that until you pledged, this, you know, the spring or fall of your freshman year. Stop lying. You're from Detroit. So I guess I'm just putting it out there to go, you know what, give my sister a break. She's out there doing her thing. She's doing her job. She's an actor. And guess what? Morgan Freeman played God in the TV. Did any of y'all say shit to him? No, you did not. He might be an atheist for all you know. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's going to ruffle some feathers. And here's the thing. I really don't care because I've got a point. It's not that serious. Like, nobody out here has, you know, a copyright or a patent for any particular Greek step or stroll or anything like that. And it pisses me off because I guess they feel like, well, because we make this hand gesture, whatever, no one else can do that. Wrong again. I agree. No one should be out there falsely pretending to be a part of your organization, and that you should staunchly defend. But anything after that, and sit down and get some business. It's like people tripping about wearing Jordans or getting Jordan tattoos or anything like that. You're representing something that's not paying you. You know, you're desecrating maybe your body or doing something, you know, you're wearing your net worth on your back, but you don't have any Nike stock. Like, that kind of shit kills me. We've got to think differently, people. So all that to say, I'm team Issa Rae. I'm standing by my sister. And, you know, y'all need to pull up and, you know, find some business rather than tripping with her. And here's the funny thing. If you notice, when celebrities or athletes or whatever start to really, really blow up, guess what happens? We love making them honorary members of said fraternities and sororities. See, it's everybody trying to use the other person for gain. So, again, she just gave this organization $1 million worth of free publicity. Y'all want to come for her? Get some real business is all I'm saying. You know, ease up. You know, find something to do with yourself. That's where I just rant for today. I'm done with it unless someone wants to weigh in. Please do. And I've already talked to my sisters about it, so not that they're the be-all and end-all, but again, being part of the organization, we understand where each other's coming from. And it was funny because I told my other sister, who was an AKA, if you were getting paid X amount of dollars, you'll play any member of any organization that they tell you to. I said, shit, I'll put on pink and green if they pay me the right amount. Say something to me. I'll pick you up at the airport. We can fight about it and then go have a drink. This is a job. They're just acting. That's it. That's all. Let it be that. All right. So anyway, I'm done. I'm off my soapbox about that. Trust me, something else will come along. But if you guys have anything, you know, to weigh in about it, by all means do so.
So since we're on the topic of acting,
okay.
So what do you think about the Alec Baldwin situation?
Mm.
I'm sure you know about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The assistant director who handed him the gun has actually had an incident on another movie set of the same sort where someone got shot with a live round. And, you know, and I'm like, that's very problematic. He should not be in the industry still doing that, in my opinion. I mean, that's, if he's already done something like that or got in trouble with something like that, you know, and then he did it again, and now someone is dead as a result. So that's a problem. That's definitely an issue.
It's interesting because it's, again, it's like a club. No one's going to go out of their way to kind of, you know, rat the other person out, things like that. What's funny is, you know how often this has happened in this particular industry historically. The original Superman, whose last name was also Reed, was killed that way. Brandon Lee was killed that way.
As I say, Brandon Lee was killed that way also.
Same, yeah, it goes on and on. Like, and this is, think about how many accidents do occur. Now, what's funny is they retroactively go back and do an investigation, and then they find all sorts of, you know, rules and things that were broken on the particular set, but it's too late. Like, you're a day late and a dollar short. Like, the shortcuts that are taken to get through filming, they won't be, you know, they won't be discovered or even, you know, brought about until a tragedy happens. Yeah, it should have never occurred. And I've got, you know, I know some gentlemen, I know people that are filmmakers, and of course I've actually read what they did. They've weighed in on it, and, you know, they're infuriated because as a filmmaker, as a producer, as a director, it makes everyone look bad. And it puts the weight on everyone's shoulders now. And now, if you're doing what you're supposed to, it doesn't matter. But let's just say you're trying to kind of skim by or cut corners and things like that. Now, I mean, the eye of the industry is on everything. And they're probably going to change the rules involving firearms and weapons training and things like that, which, and it shouldn't come to that. It shouldn't have to be tragic. You know, I did a trailer training video for an active shooter that was called Prevail. It was used by the U.S. military and some other people. Really, really, it was a really cool project to be a part of. And we had a real AK-47. The gentleman who's a friend of mine, Omar, played the terrorist, and we all had to go through training to be around that. Now, yeah, some people say, oh, I shoot all the time. That's fine. But on a closed set, when you've got an AK-47, even shooting blanks, you know that wadding can kill you. It killed Reeves. And so we had to have someone, a firearm specialist, on site at all times, right nearby. The minute you're done doing that particular scene, they remove everything. They don't let you walk around with it. And then, of course, there are angles that are used when firing. You know, you're not supposed to fire directly at anything live or moving because of this particular thing. But obviously, people don't always adhere. And 95% of the time, you get away with it. And there's that 5% of the time, like the young lady who was killed by the train in Georgia, Sarah, I can't remember her name, on that particular film set a few years ago. This just happened, and countless other, you know, tragedies that you don't hear about. I think the industry has kind of gone to sleep and gotten lax. And again, I don't want to be a casualty. I was on two sets this week. Now, we weren't doing anything dangerous, but let's just say we were. And if you've got, you know, if you've got celebrities around, no one wants to hold off, you know, shooting because maybe a PA or anybody else is like, I don't want to do that. You don't want to be the killjoy. So what do people do? They go right in and do it against their better judgment, and it can cost them their life. I'm not that person. If I don't feel comfortable, I don't give a damn that Jesus is shooting. I'm not going to do it because you have to go with your gut because you may not get a second chance. And like, I hate hearing this stuff. I hate hearing about it. And I think, you know, Baldwin, as crazy as he is, I really do think he's a mess. Could you imagine being the person to do that? You'd get scarred for life. I'd be a whole mess. You know, think about that.
Yeah, because he was told that it was a cold gun, and the code for a cold gun means that it was safe. He was told it was safe. So, and the fact that this guy who did this, who handed him the gun, has been in trouble from another movie set for doing the same thing.
It makes me wonder, like, are these people that sadistic that they want to see something happen, or they just, are you that careless? I don't know how you can be that careless. If you've ever been in a gun class, if you've ever heard anyone, they say, always assume it's loaded, always. You look down the barrel, you point it away. I mean, this is like gun safety 101. I don't care who you are. So it just leads me to believe, I don't know, maybe this individual was just like kind of wacky like that. I don't know. But he definitely is to blame. He's absolutely to blame. But I still feel bad for Alec Baldwin because he still pulled the trigger. You know,
right?
I don't know. I just feel it's a bad deal.
And you got to imagine that's taking some toll on him too.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it with you? Think about that. An innocent person, you're performing a role, and then next thing you know, someone's big. I don't think. Man, I know I wouldn't be the same. I don't know if I'd recover from that. Seriously. That would be tough. That would be tough. Wow. So pour one out for that unfortunate young lady.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Because it didn't have to happen.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. We can talk about, if you guys want, I don't, George. You know, unfortunately, we don't have a lot to be happy about in the Chiefs' kingdom, but I know we've got to do it. So you want to go ahead? You guys want to go ahead and introduce it?
All right. Well, with that being said, here we go with Sports 90 Seconds Celeste from our friends at the Barbecue and Sports Review.
I'm Jason Weaver.
And I'm Kelsey Moore.
And we're from Barbecue and Sports Podcast, bringing you sports in 90 seconds or less.
In the NFL this week, the Arizona Cardinals remain the only undefeated team with a 31-5 win over the Houston Texans. The Cincinnati Bengals gained full control over the AFC North this weekend with a huge 41-17 win over the Baltimore Ravens. The Detroit Lions remain the only team without a win with their 28-19 loss to the LA Rams. Despite Derrick Henry's rushing attack being shut down this week, the Tennessee Titans still came away with a victory in their game against the Kansas City Chiefs in a score of 27-3. Derrick Henry did have one passing touchdown in that game. As it stands, Tom Brady leads the league in passing yards through 7 weeks. Derrick Henry leads the league in rushing yards, and Cooper Kupp leads the league in receiving yards.
In baseball, the Braves and Astros kicked off the World Series Tuesday night. Braves took game one and play again tonight in Houston. In the NBA, the regular season kicked off last week. Jazz, Bulls, and Warriors remain undefeated. The Lakers beat Spurs Tuesday, 125-121, with LeBron James sitting out with an ankle injury. In college football, Oklahoma falls from number 2 to 4 after narrowly beating the Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas had the lead going into the fourth quarter.
As always, thank you for tuning in, and don't stop smoking the meat.
All
there
right.
You have it. The
hope
painful information.
So what do you guys think is going on with our Chiefs? I'm like, what is the deal? Are they just not showing up for work every Sunday? Or, like, the defense decide to go on hiatus and didn't tell the rest of the team? I'm like, what is going on? They're not playing to the best of their ability, for sure. And I feel like something is off with them. Something is really off. What do you guys think it is? Any ideas?
Well, let me tell you this. So this weekend here in Kansas City at Harris Casino, Christian Okoye is hosting a roast for, I forget who it's for, but he's hosting a roast for another Kansas City Chiefs player. You know, it's a nice little event. And, you know, they had him, they interviewed him on KPRS. And they asked Christian Okoye the same thing about what he thought was going on. And it sounded like to me he was pretty upset. he was like, they just playing some bad football. They just playing football, and they need to get it together. He said they got the ability, they got the people, they got the team. He said, but they're not playing like a Super Bowl team. They're off, and they just need to get it together. So that came
why?
From Christian Okoye.
They have to go to the root of the problem to figure out why there are.
So here's what I'll say, and again, big ups to Christian. I loved watching that guy. I mean, at one point in time, he was pretty much the offense. That guy was a monster. Loved watching the Nigerian Nightmare. He had a great story. You know, I've discussed it with some diehards, and I've discussed it with people that really do understand the game of football, not just, you know, fans and things like that. And in my opinion, I've come up with a couple of things. One, even though we spent a ton of money trying to reorganize and revamp that O-line, it takes a long time for O-linemen to gel and come together. And if you ask anybody, they'll tell you it's probably the hardest and longest setup in football. Is for them to truly get that choreography down. We've got a bunch of very, very young players. And it shows. When I watch them play, I feel bad. I get mad because they get bullied. They get beat up by a lot of other teams. They are just flat out getting beat up. I'm watching them get bullied, get blown off the ball. So, of course, if you notice, Patrick Mahomes has been running for his life. Now, normally he scrambles and does a little bit, but it's not the fun circus trickery, chicane. No, he's running for his very life because this young line is getting blasted. That's easily one of the biggest part of why we can't score. He doesn't have the time and the protection. Secondly, my best friend and I discuss it all the time. We talk about the Kelce Hill Mahomes show. Well, part of the problem is everyone's been watching him for the past 3 years. Eventually, people are going to catch on to your habits. And because of that, they just, you know what, we're just going to shut down, you know, your primary targets. And as you see, you haven't seen very much real live, like, action out of Hill or Kelce here and there, but they're not taking over games like they once were. Defenses have already made the adjustment. Now, as in any game of chess, you have to readjust. So we haven't gotten to that point yet. Andy Smith, in my opinion, he's a player coach. Some people don't like that. I think some players need that. I do think he really is a strategist. He has a great eye for kind of working with people and masterminding really cool plays, but he needs to readjust because guess what? He was up here, and then defenses and defense coordinators said, you know what, we figured out how to work with that. Now they're beating us. Now Andy's got to elevate his game again and figure that out. And that's where the problem's coming in. Look at what we're doing. We were the highest scoring team in the league for 2 years. These guys can't score with a $2 whore right now.
Not at all.
They haven't put it in. And I mean, again, we're speaking from this particular vantage point. Don't get me wrong. I definitely have played, you know, a little bit. And so I understand that it's easier said than done. Like I tell everybody, the worst team in the NFL is still full of professionals, which means they're still better than 90% of the people on the planet. So I don't care if you're 0-7 or 7-0. Those are still professionals out there that are getting paid to do what they do. And not to take anything away because, you know, armchair quarterbacks and critics always have the most opinions. But I will say, in terms of our, you know, our scoring ability, it has gone down substantially, and it's hurting us. You know, defense is doing okay. They're not doing too terribly. I mean, we've never been notorious for having, like, stellar secondary or cover corners or safeties. I mean, everybody's doing their thing. They're doing okay. But again, when you're really, really lacking in one area, you've got to be up here. Think about the old school Baltimore Ravens. They couldn't score but 3 or 4 points a game, but they beat the hell out of you and beat you 6-3 because they just would just mollywop you. We don't have that ability right now. You know, Matthew, whom everybody loves, he's a fan favorite. I love the guy. He's a spiritual leader in a lot of ways, but he can bring thunder and do all that kind of other stuff. He's on the back end of his career. He's got a lot of other, you know, things going against him in terms of age and getting banged up and stuff like that. And I just think we're, at times I feel like when I look at us, we're undersized compared to other teams, be that defensive matchups or offense, we're just undersized. And it just seems like we're just getting pushed around a little bit. Maybe that's because they don't have the chemistry yet or whatnot, but yeah, they you know, I think we all were hoping for that dynasty run, and I feel like, well, now they've got to kind of go back and maybe reconfigure some things, you know, because a lot of big contracts, you know, went into putting together what they've got right now. And you see, we're going to be lucky to be 6-10 the way we're going. Can you believe that? Super Bowl win, another Super Bowl appearance in L, and now these guys are struggling like that. It happens, but, man, that's a quick fall from glory. So, you know, best of luck to him. I'm going to always pull for him. But I feel like, yeah, we've got some serious holes to fill right now before people start to put them in that top power 5 and 10 again. I mean, that's the truth. And Mahomes, I mean, I'm definitely not going to point all the fingers at him because, again, like I said, and no disrespect to the big boys, but I know how hard it is to get that chemistry, to get them to jail, to get them to do their job. It's tough. That's why good old linemen hang around so long and get paid so much. So all of that combined with the fact that Mahomes is struggling to find his targets and blah, 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 man, we got a hard road to hoe. We really do.
Yeah, yeah. I think part of that, you hit that right the nail on the head because it really is a chemistry when teams, when the more they play together, the more they can read each other and they know everybody's sure. moves and things are more coordinated. And the fact of the matter is that this entire front line, the first time any of them has played together was in the first game of the season.
Right.
So they've only been playing together for 6 games. You know, they've been practicing together. That's one thing. But actually playing a game together is a whole another deal. And they've only been playing for 6 games. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not making excuses for my team, but that's also just a matter of fact, you know. It is what it is. And I hate it, and I hate to see them like this. But, you know, for years and years and decades, we've always been a second-half team. I mean, that's second half in the game, and that's second half in the season. So we still got a lot of season left. Oh, it ain't no telling what could happen.
Yeah, but if you look, the problem is we went from breaking all the positive records to kind of falling into the other end of the records with, you know, how few points we've scored and the biggest deficit at halftime in X amount of games. And so it's one of those we've kind of come full circle. And, I mean, I know what happens. And like I said, luckily the vast majority of these guys are young. And have got some time. They experienced major success early, and it's really tough to keep that lightning in a bottle once you catch it. It's really tough. The only thing I can say, and I don't care who is, like I said, I would love to see Tom Brady take a long walk off a short pier But again, that's a whole different, you know, game.
Well, my question is, where the hell did the Arizona Cardinals come from? I damn near didn't even know they was a football team until this year. You know, I was like, where? Arizona got a football team? What do you mean?
Man,
where did these cats come from?
I've been digging Kyler. I've been digging Murray since he came out of college.
Been the biggest thing here in Arizona is the fact that the Cardinals are 7-0. Like, they've not lost a game. But we beat them in the preseason. So I'm wondering, did they pull a Freaky Friday? So
No.
Are the Chiefs playing as the Cardinals? Like, what the hell is going on?
Well, you have to understand, preseason is to check in, see what your newly acquired players and your rookies, what they're bringing to the table, how they look. So you don't really get a real glimpse of the true team in preseason, so it means nothing. You can be 0-4 or 5 in the preseason and come and smoke people, or you can be 4-0 and get smoked, which is kind of how we've been rolling. But listen, I mean, the Cardinals have been doing a thing, and even though I've never cared one way or the other, I was a Fitzgerald fan. I've always been a Fitzgerald fan. I watched him in college, and I knew that guy was going to do the thing. So even though he kind of struggled, he kind of had – a little bit of the Patrick Ewing effect in that he was an amazing player, but he just was doomed to play in an era with a team that wasn't going to get him there, but he's still a Hall of Famer. The dude is golden. Kyler Murray, I watched him in college, and when he came out, you know, again, he had a lot of people kind of making some knocks on him, and I like to see that he's coming into his own. He's still got a ways to go, but the boy's balling, you know, especially compared to what the naysayers we're calling his limitations in terms of his size, mobility. Yeah, he's got arm strength and all that. But they're always going to question certain things. You know what I mean? Accuracy, decision-making, things like that. Those guys are just – they're just playing like a team. They're finding a way. Because some of the wins have been ugly, but I don't care. Guess what? 7-0. And I'm like, damn, I never thought I'd say that. But conversely, Detroit's got good players, and they're still 0-7. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. They have decent players. I don't know what it is. Is it the Motor City Curse? But they're still 0-7. So even though I'm looking at my boys and thinking, whoo, listen, right now, shout out to my boy Fletch and some other cats that I know coaching over at Lincoln. Shit, I think Lincoln Prep might give those boys a run. The way the Chiefs are playing and the way Lincoln's playing, Lincoln finished the regular season 9-0. They're my second alma mater. I say that because I didn't go there, but everyone thought I did. A bunch of my friends and family members went there. So, hell, they almost put me in the yearbook. But anyway, my guy's coaching over there. And these guys are really, really doing something special with these young men in terms of getting them in college, players of the week, getting them looks. And, you know, Lincoln's historically been known academically as a powerhouse, and now they're actually getting some respect again on the gridiron, which is something that just didn't happen before about 5 or 6 years ago. So, you know, I mean, I say that. I'm joking a little bit, but again, you know, big ups to the Tigers, Blue Tigers, give them that run. Do your thing out there. But, yeah, we're going to have a talk. But I'm going to have to call Andy up and be like, listen, Andy, you know, let's go out, you know, let's have some hummus or some shit and talk about what's going on, brother.
We need a new playbook. Because I think a lot of the teams are up on our playbook, and we haven't switched anything up. So they've studied
I think they're
us
copying.
And they know our habits. So I think we
they're definitely copying.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know what? Matter of fact, speaking of that clown Brady, and yes, I'm a Brady hater, in case y'all didn't know. He pulled a Patrick the other day. Did y'all see the flip, the forward lateral? Like I said, you ain't never seen that cat do that till homie start doing that. He kind of did a forward flip shuffle pass, like a la Patrick. Like, I mean, he definitely hasn't done it this late in his career, but we made people want to start to run different complex or fun plays again because I think football had gotten pretty vanilla in some respects. And then Andy is not afraid to open up that playbook. And so, and then once he kind of let, you know, once he kind of let Patrick freestyle out there and, you know, get on page with the receivers. But I do think, I think people are taking a page from our book, but I also think that they're starting to recognize and shut certain looks down, but they're using it. So that's where I'm saying, okay, you've got to reinvent yourself once again, because now that they're on to that, you've got to move on. It's one of those, if it's good, anybody, like, look, you can like, you know, kind of like, you know, think about Remember the Titans or other, you know, football movies where, you know, one of the old adages is you can know our playbook, but you got to stop it. The problem is people kind of knew what was coming. They couldn't stop it. Now, all of a sudden, they found a way to stop it. So now that's kind of where the, you know what? We need the damn water boy. That's what we need. We need Bobby Boucher.
We need Bobby Boucher.
That's who we need.
We need Bobby Boucher.
We get Bobby out there. We need Boucher because, Jesus, we can't get it together. But I'm still riding. I'm still representing, fellas. Don't worry about it. I'm still representing. My mama said, that's what we need. I know that's crazy. That's super crazy. But shit is the truth. It is the absolute truth.
So, it is.
Oh.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So also in the news, China's ambitious climate goals collide with reality, hampering global efforts. Did you guys hear about that? China's doing quite a bit these days.
Well, explain it.
Well, China, the world's largest greenhouse gas polluter, is heading to Glasgow climate talks next week with a bold agenda. For the first time, it promises to take major steps to wean itself off fossil fuels, committing to net zero emissions before 2060. So do you think that they will be able to accomplish this?
I think a lot of people say that because, I mean, obviously it sounds great and makes people like Greenpeace and things like that get a hard on. The problem is, and let me just say for, you know, a country and an industry such as theirs, I can definitely see where that would come in handy because they are one country on, you know, in, if you will, and they have just shy of 20% of the Earth's population. It's amazing. That is freaking amazing. That's a lot of people in that small area. So it would actually behoove them to do that. It would definitely be in their best interest because they're literally going to, you know, suffocate on top of each other. So I can definitely see where the benefit of that really does come into play. So if you ask, can I believe that they will make an effort? Sure. Will they be able to accomplish it 100%? I don't know. But, I mean, you know, any effort is a good effort. I think when people talk about going, you know, going solar and all that, I just don't think that fossil fuels or anything like that will ever go away because too many people have gotten filthy, filthy rich from that industry. When you think petroleum, when you think oil and things like that, there's no way if my family has a legacy, you know, generations deep based on, I'm not going to let that go, you know, and quite frankly, if there's smog in your city, I don't care. And I'm saying I as in that thought process of certain people, you know. So will it go away 100%? No, it's just like electric cars and just like things like that. Do I think they will become the majority and become prevalent soon? Sure. Work the kinks out? Sure. But do I think that we'll ever be rid of people that have 61 Corvettes and old 57 Chevys in the garage? Hell no. There are too many diehard fanatics on that. I'm one of them for that matter. You know, I love my old school. But I just think that if there's a way to curb it and pull it way, way down, then there's a way to kind of coexist with it. So, you know, big ups to China if they can pull that off. But, hell, this is also someone we're talking about that got a gang of nukes. So there's that part, too. I mean, trust me, they got power. They've got power in one way, shape, or form. But
right.
I don't know.
But it says for years to come, it will continue burning a lot of coal to keep its economy charging ahead. And this article was in the Wall Street Journal, written by Shah Hua and Fred Dvorak. So shout out to Shah Hua and Fred Dvorak.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll definitely see. You know, I used to work in the coal. I was kind of in that coal industry and engineering, and then switched to, believe it or not, nuclear. So I got to see a little bit of both sides, and it's interesting how they do like this, depending on what's going on in the world and things like that. I mean, coal is still a huge, huge industry, but obviously we know so is nuclear, and it's kind of hush hush. It's not talked about like that because it still scares people because of how dangerous, volatile, and unpredictable it can be. So yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what we're told versus what happens. Put it like that.
And also in the Wall Street Journal and other news, profit falls at GM and Ford as chip shortage takes toll.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's been going on for a while that's because of China. It ain't just GM and Ford that's causing the problem with it. It's everything, computers, anything that uses a chip.
Yeah, computer chip shortage.
Anything that uses a chip. Yeah, anything that uses a chip is feeling that. I know people that have ordered stuff that requires chips, and it's taking a month to get it.
Right. Well, that's also why the prices of used cars have gone through the roof. It's unbelievable. You're like, I've heard time and time again, people are like, I went to buy my kid a car or do whatever, and they're actually mentioning how used cars are fetching top dollar because, obviously there's not enough inventory with new cars because, again, of the chips and microprocessors and things like that. So I think that's interesting, too, and it's just, to me, it's really just people kind of flexing to say, look what I can do. Now, mm-hmm. I'm kind of going to go off the rails real quick. I don't know if you guys, I just saw this maybe a couple of hours ago. There was, I'm going to be nice, I'm using the term loosely. There was a young lady who basically said we should utilize immigrants to help out with the cargo holds and bring in shipments and do all that. And the illegal immigrants should be, she tried to make it seem like indentured servitude. Now, the internet does not play about this shit. Slavery. Literally what she was saying was make illegal immigrants slaves and make them take hold and pick up the slack for the people for the lack of, delivery drivers and late time and lack of shipments and cargo holds and things like that. And I mean, once that happened, once you put it out there, the internet's undefeated. So, of course, they found her workplace and, things like that and put some numbers on the internet. And I think it's funny because it's not really funny. It's scary because she's a general manager at a particular company. So this individual was in a position of power, but for whatever reason, she couldn't keep her mouth shut and decided to record a video saying, you know what? It's going to upset some people, and I don't really care. And then she proceeded to make that comment. What cracks me up is, listen, there's no one on this planet, or at least in this country, that can't be called an illegal immigrant unless your last name has something to do with nature because you were here first. It's just the truth. I mean, from English to Irish to Chinese to whatever. I mean, everybody at one point in time was a visitor here, some involuntarily, some. And so it's amazing how arrogant some people can get to actually, suggest that, we should make these people, indentured servants. And she literally said make them work for 5 years, which is, to do this, to get us back. It was mind-boggling. In 2021, this thought process still happens. In 2021, which just goes to show, that thinking, that's a thought process that's actually taught. That doesn't develop organically. That's taught. But she was in a position of power, which is scary. Think about how many other people have that thought process. It ain't me, so I don't care what happens to you. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting because she mentioned the shipments and the trucking and making them, basically pick up the slack where it's kind of been left off. I try my best to be as nice as I can to, delivery drivers and everybody else because I know they're out there they're busting it. They're understaffed, But, yeah, I think that's interesting. to say the least.
Well, also, this week in history, October 27th, the New York City subway opens. At 2:35 on the afternoon of October 27th, 1904, New York City Mayor George McClellan takes the controls on the inaugural run of the city's innovative new rapid transit system, the subway. While London boasts the world's oldest underground train network, opened in 1863, and Boston built the first subway in the United States in 1897, the New York City subway soon became the largest American system. The first line operated by the Interborough Rapid Transit Company traveled 9.1 miles through 28 stations, running from City Hall in Lower Manhattan to Grand Central Terminal in Midtown, and then heading west along 42nd Street to Times Square. The line finished by zipping north all the way to 145th Street and Broadway in Harlem. On opening day, Mayor McClellan soon enjoyed his stint as engineer that he stayed at the controls all the way from City Hall to 103rd Street. So, shout out to New York, and happy anniversary to the New York City subway.
Oh, I've never been on it. Seen videos, heard stories, never been on it.
Me either.
But from what I understand, that there's never a shortage of, let's just call it, entertainment on that subway. What I think is crazy is how desensitized people have had to kind of become, because even if you try to be helpful, like I said, they're being, I hate that people end up being victims. You try to help someone, next thing you know, your ass is bleeding two times, So I don't know. It's one of those, I can probably do without. It's definitely legendary in its own right. So one of the few places I haven't been, believe it or not. So if I got family in New York, shout me out. So maybe we can do something out there. Cause, I know it's a city that never sleeps. So give me 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Nice. Also.
Yeah, give me 2 days.
Also opening this week, we have several movies that are coming out, while we have several good ones that are still playing. So the current films that are starting, I'm sorry, I'm kind of losing my voice here. Excuse me. We have Antlers. In an isolated Oregon town, a middle school teacher and her sheriff's brother become embroiled with her enigmatic student, whose dark secrets lead to terrifying encounters with a legendary ancestral creature who came before them. It stars Scott Cooper as the director, starring Kerry Russell, Jesse Plemons, Jeremy T. Thomas, and Graham Greene. So if you guys get to see Antlers, it's a horror film. So if you like horror films, definitely might want to check that out. And perfect, since we are still within Halloween. And we'll talk about Halloween next. Also, Last Night in Soho, also a thriller, a horror film. An aspiring fashion designer is mysteriously able to enter the 1960s, where she encounters a dazzling wannabe singer. But the glamour is not all it appears to be, and the dreams of the past start to crack and splinter into something darker. This one, directed by Edgar Wright, starring Thomasine McKenzie, Anya Taylor-Joy, Matt Smith, and Diana Rigg. Also, those of you who love anime, I know my daughter loves anime, my son loves anime, I love anime. So if you love anime, you're going to love this. My Hero Academia, World Heroes Mission. It also starts this weekend, so bring the kiddos out and everyone who loves anime, come check it out. When a cult of terrorists ruins a city by releasing a toxin that causes people's abilities to spiral out of control, Japan's greatest heroes spread around the world in an attempt to track down the mastermind and put him to justice. And if I know My Hero Academia, they will get the job done. So definitely bring the kiddos out to see My Hero Academia. If you love anime, you're going to love this film. It's got action and a little bit of romance. It's got action, adventure, fantasy, and it is animated, so you definitely want to check it out. Also, The Souvenir Part 2. In the aftermath of her tumultuous relationship, Julie begins to untangle her fraught love for him in making her graduation film, sorting facts from his elaborately constructed fiction. Director Joanna Hogg, starring Tilda Swinton, who is a great actor, Honor Swinton Byrne, James Spencer Ashworth, and Alice McMillan. So you want to check out The Souvenir, Part 2. And since it is a Part 2, you might want to check out
this
Part 1 so you know what's going to happen in Part 2. All right. Also opening this week, A Mouthful of Air. Julie Davis writes best-selling children's books about unlocking your fears. This one stars Amanda Seyfried, Britt Robertson, Jennifer Carpenter, and Finn Wittrock. Director Amy Koppelman. And last but not least, we have 13 Minutes. Four families in a heartland town are tested in a single day when a tornado hits, forcing paths to cross and redefining the meaning of survival. So if you are in the mood for action, drama, and a bit of a thrill, check out 13 Minutes. And ending the list, Planet Dune. If you like sci-fi, you're going to like Planet Dune. A crew on a mission to rescue a marooned base on a desert planet turns deadly when the crew finds themselves hunted and attacked by the planet's apex predators, giant sandworms. So that should definitely be interesting. So you want to check out Planet Dune, directed by Glenn Campbell, Tammy Klein, and also stars Sean Young, Emily Killen, and it'll be good to see Sean Young back on the big screen. Emily Killen, Tammy Klein, and Sharon Desiree. So those are the films that are opening this Friday. Check them out. Also still playing, we have Dune, James Bond, No Time to Die, and Halloween Kills. So those films are all still playing if you want to check those out. And Fast Furious 9 is also still playing. So if you haven't seen F9, you still have a chance to see it on the big screen in all of its glory. So you want to check it out. So those are the films that are still playing and those that are opening this weekend. Check them out, and I will see you at the movie. All right.
Oh.
So I know you guys
the
are
the only movie I've seen that might be interesting. And I don't know if it's coming to the big screen or not. It might be. I have to look up the name of it, but it's got Idris Elba and Regina King in it. It's like a Western. Looks pretty pretty interesting. Again, I'm biased. Like I said, love Idris. Definitely love Regina King. And it's got a few more, you know, big names off the top of my head. So anyway, and since I love, like, The Quick and the Dead and a couple of those other ones, you know, Tombstone Posse. That might be worth checking out. I'm not sure what platform it's coming to, but, you know, knowing me, I won't see it until it's been out for a few months.
So it's opening Friday?
I'm not sure when it's coming out. I'll have to double check. But I know I've been kind of checking the advertising. They've been promoting it themselves a lot, so it's coming out pretty soon. So I'll definitely keep you guys posted. I want to check it out. You know, Idris is one of those guys that, I mean, I give the man credit. Like, he can kind of play all over the board. You know, he can lose his accent at times, use it at times, and things like that. And, again, just watching them get together. It'll be cool.
Okay.
Quick question. You know, I keep them. So I heard, you know, recently, this is about a week or two ago. I don't know if you've ever been to Hooters. I don't know if either of you guys have ever been to Hooters, but even if you haven't, you know what it's about, right? So you've seen that. Okay, George, let me ask you
first. Not only have I been to Hooters, but I actually had a Hooters fan club card, and I had Chiefs season tickets from Hooters, which was the best thing in the world because you would go to Hooters an hour before the game, and you get an hour of free beer and free wings. Then they'd take you to the game in the limo, and then they bring you back to Hooters after the game to get another hour of free beer and free wings, and then you go home.
Now, I've got a good Hooters story. It's not like that. Back when I played, a little bit, we had all-star games, in different places. So one of the places we had an all-star game was in Florida, and I went with some teammates. And I actually talked one of the Hooters girls into giving me her tank top because I was like, I'll buy one. I just want to take one back. It was in Orlando, and it was really, really nice. And it was actually around Halloween, believe it or not. God, this was like 15 years ago. But I somehow, I don't know what she went in the back, came back, I paid for my stuff, I looked in there, I was like, because they pay a different price, obviously, than you would from behind the counter, but I'm like, I want that one. So anyway, long story short, that's my whole story. I did talk a young lady about it. I didn't see anything, but she did, anyway. I said, I'll buy you a new one. I'll buy you two new ones. I just want that one, so I got it. Anyway, Brock, where's my shirt? Anyway, so you guys know what the outfit is pretty much. I mean, the short kind of the booty shorts and the tank tops that are tight and the big socks. Honestly, between you, me, and the walls, I've never been a huge fan of the outfit. I think it's kind of, but that was kind of the deliberate point of it. It's called Hooters for a reason. We want to accentuate one particular body part. The rest is negligible. As a matter of fact, they kind of scoffed at too much of any other body part, I noticed, over the years. Well, recently, they're in Texas, obviously, to start out with, no surprise there, in Texas, they have changed the uniform. They are literally wearing just about thongs. So the shorts have kind of gotten shorter. They're almost, they're thong-esque. They're pretty damn close. And I think everything else is about the same. Now, here's my question to you guys. Knowing what the whole area is about, the establishment, what they do, there are people that are complaining, trying to file lawsuits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you feel like they're within their rights, I suppose, to make a fuss about a change in uniform, based on what they did wear compared to this? So in other words, you're going to show maybe 2 more inches of ass cheek versus what you did. And again, I'm not telling anybody what to feel comfortable in or not. I'm just saying, if someone says to you, hey, this is our uniform, you have an option. Either wear it or don't, work here or don't. But people are going so far as to start talking litigiously about what they may want to, do, how far they want to go with it, just because. What do you think? Do you think that's being extra, or do you think that they have a point?
Well, they've already been down this road once. People tried to sue them because of this situation. But, I mean, it's called Hooters, and it's called that for a reason. It's like they had the dude that was trying to sue them because they wouldn't let him be a waiter. You ain't got no Hooters.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
You know what I mean?
We'll get to that.
It is what it is. So that's the situation where if you work there and you're comfortable with it, fine. If you're not comfortable with it, get another job.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying. Because you know what you're going into. You know what you're working into. People who don't work there know what they're walking into. And the people who do work there already know what they were into. So, I mean.
Now, I'm George, just I'm just going to say, as two gentlemen who really can't say too much, I mean, I used to be a B cup. I've gone down a little bit, so I'm not going to talk about it. But Crystal, as a woman who's representing for, like I said, the embodiment of the name of that company, why don't you tell us what you think and how you would feel, or what your thought process is on the attire, the wardrobe requirements. What would you be thinking if that were presented? Not even if it wasn't to you, let's say, but what is your thought process on behalf of? Tell me what you think.
Well, Well, I feel like this. I agree with George. If the employees are comfortable with the change, you know, because it's a choice. You can either wear it and not work there, wear it or don't. So
right.
if they don't have a problem with the change, then I don't think anybody else should. My thing is this, if you don't like, you know, what's being shown, change the channel. Don't watch it. You know, if you don't like the way the girls are dressed, don't go to Hooters. You know, order DoorDash, order it, you know, and eat it at your house where you don't have to look at it. So, I mean, that's why I always get really mad and just plain pissed off at people who bring judgment when there really is no reason to bring judgment on anything.
Right.
My thing is, if you're going to complain about Hooters, then there's a lot worse things that you could probably be complaining about. Why don't you complain about the titty bars?
Which I'm sure they do, but I think it's the workers. So my understanding from the article, when I read the article, it was more the young ladies were like, okay, we were already doing this, but now you want us to show a little extra. And now they had something to say about it. And again, I don't know how many, I don't know what percentage is. Honey, if you see the damn TikTok and Instagram videos that run across any page that you look at, you can see more gratuitous ass shots from women 12 to 112. I mean, they showing ass like somebody bet them that they couldn't. And again, I'm not saying that these individuals work there. I'm just saying like it's not even a taboo anymore. So again, just like I think we're all in agreement. You don't like what you're watching, I'll quote you, change the channel. But for the ones that are working there, here's the deal. This is one specific part of Texas that started this. They haven't mandated it. They haven't made it nationwide. But they did say, hey, you know what, it may go this route. So this particular chain of restaurants said, look, we're going to go to this. But again, if you think about Twin Peaks, like George said, if you think about any other knockoff, if you think about any titty bar, guess what? There's a whole lot more or less to be, you know, there's a whole lot less to be shown, more to be done. And so I just feel like, why make a fuss? You can't tell me what to do in my house. If I tell you, if you come visit me, you have to bring a 40-ounce of beer and come, you know, butt naked with some damn galoshes on, either you choose to come or you don't. I mean, that's my fetish. Either you choose to come or you don't. Shit, it's about to rain up in this hole. But we got options. We've got options. And I just feel like people always have to make a big deal about nothing. And again, I remember the whole thing about the guys going, oh, I can't be a Hooters girl. See, you're just deliberately looking for something. And I have a problem with, and listen to me carefully, I have a problem with any group or individual that is looking for a reason to get attention, to be in the spotlight, to deliberately be a victim when you don't have to be. Again, you can choose to work there or you can never be seen again, but you choose to stay and make a fuss and raise a stink. And if you're a business owner or anything like that, that's doing nothing but creating distraction. So I say all that to say, hey, ladies, either wear the you know, coochie cutters or get the hell out of there. Wear the thong or don't, because there's so many people showing that shit for free. And I figure, you know what, if you can get good tips on top of, you know, who knows, business tips or whatever, like this is, you know, either wear it or don't, because there's a line of people waiting to take your spot. But it's just like, I think we're just being ridiculous. I feel like this is just, it's like a nation of victims right now, and it's so annoying coming from, we're a very blue-collar generation. I told my daughter this the other day, so I'm back on my soapbox. I was like, you have a very entitled generation. You guys are super intelligent. You have ingenuity. You have the ability to literally get rich in the palm of your hand. I go, but y'all are the biggest group of wussies I've ever met in my life. You guys get online and pump each other up and edify each other. You got it, sis. Go ahead. You slam them. You're killing them. I go, y'all are weak as shit. Y'all are soft as Dr. Scott. Any adversity or controversy and they buckle, but that's where the cancel culture comes in. So, yeah, now I'm being the old guy talking shit on the new generation, and I am. But here's the thing. You can't prove me wrong. My generation, boy, look, yeah, you got out there and you twisted that shit with your bare hands. It just, it doesn't happen anymore. So I think that this is part of it. Let me complain and try to cancel someone instead of just either doing the job or getting another one. It's that simple. And I'm going to be honest with you. Since I'm an ass and leg man, I ain't never really been overly impressed by, look, if you're nice, I appreciate you, bless you. But Hooters ain't for hiring, you know, legs and ass. They for hiring, you know, titties and big hair and faces. And that's fine. Like I said, I'll take whatever I can get. But if you want my personal preference, so I don't care. It ain't going to be a whole lot of posterior in those thongs anyway. And that's all I have to say about that. But I still love you guys, like I said. If you got a great personality, you get a good tip.
So, well, as you guys know, one big holiday that is coming up this weekend is the holiday of Halloween, where everyone gets to dress up, eat someone else. So do you guys know the origins of Halloween? Now, Halloween is a holiday celebrated each year on October 31st, and Halloween 2021 will occur on Sunday, October 31st. Now, the tradition originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts. In the 18th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time to honor all saints. Soon, sorry, I'm losing my voice again. Soon, All Saints Day incorporated some of the traditions of Samhain. The evening before was known as All Hallows Eve and later Halloween. Over time, Halloween evolved into a day of activities like trick-or-treating, carving jack-o'-lanterns, festive gatherings, donning costumes, and eating treats. Just a little bit about Halloween there. So this day marked the end of summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time of year that was often associated with human death. Celts believed that on the night before the new year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead became blurred. On the night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain, when it was believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to earth. And then the next day, you celebrate All Saints Day. And I remember All Saints Day because, of course, I went to Catholic school. So we would, you know, have a great time on Halloween, but the next day we were out of school because All Saints Day is a Catholic holiday. So I would have no school the day after Halloween, which was super cool. You know, miss those days. But yeah, so that's a little bit of about Halloween, everybody. So I hope you enjoyed that. Did you guys learn something?
Well, no.
I already knew that. I'm just saying.
No, I do think it's interesting how the traditions travel the world.
What
you know?
I like, what I enjoy is holiday that's huge, that after Halloween, November 1st and November 2nd, and that's the Hispanic holiday of the Day of the Dead.
Dia de los Muertos.
You are familiar with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So, which is very close like Halloween, but except they're honoring the lives of the people that have passed in their life, mm-hmm. kind of like on Memorial Day, only our Memorial mm-hmm. Day is like really morbid, you know, but they celebrate their Memorial Day.
Everybody
died
in the war. But yeah,
right.
They do pan muerto, dead bread, and on Dia de los Muertos. Dia de los Muertos. They, like you said, they actually make trips to cemeteries and things like that. It's more about a celebration in honor of them with them. It's like, you know, you're invited to the party, so they take the party to their ancestors and deceased. They're a lot less macabre and morbid about it than, say, we are. We look at it because of the movies and things that we think of as being grim and scary and spooky, whereas a lot of other cultures tend to really, really celebrate the legacy, like George was saying, and their ancestors, and thinking of them as still being with them. So it's not the scary, spooky way that we make it out to. But then again, you know, our scary movie industry is like none other. So, you know, there's that. But I just think it's interesting how holidays like Halloween, for instance, even Christmas and other things have morphed over the years, coming from different countries and to be incorporated into our particular modern culture. But like they say, in America, kind of nothing is organic. Everything has been borrowed or stolen or remixed from something else, because this is a country full of immigrants. So everybody brought their culture with them.
Now, do you know why there's 2 days of the Day of the Dead?
No. Why?
Day one is to celebrate the children, and day two is to celebrate the adults.
Oh, makes sense. Fair enough. So day one, you can have candy, and day two, you can have beer, marijuana, and tequila made from the agave plant. That's what it is. I got you. You sure are right.
I think they had it both days, though.
On day one, on the first day. And on the second day, marijuana y cerveza. Hey, y'all didn't know I was a polyglot, did y'all? Oh, shit, I got 3 words in Spanish. Don't play. That's cool. That's super cool. That's cool. See,
yeah.
We're multicultural over here.
Mm-hmm. Now let's bring this to our topic tonight. Age. Is it really just a number? Now, what prompted
Ooh.
This? Now,
A
55-year-old Florida man goes viral after he married his 18-year-old goddaughter. So my thing is this. What can an 18-year-old offer a 55-year-old? Now, Roger and George, you guys, we all have children. We're all parents. So as fathers,
right.
What would you do if your friend, say, was 55 and he married and say you made him your daughter's godfather? What if he asked for your daughter's hand in marriage? What would your reaction be to this? Because I don't understand how this man, you know, has no bruising, you know, no black eyes, how he was able to get as far as he did.
Well,
and when you see the pictures of the wedding, it's like people seem to be happy.
Well,
instead of this is going on.
So a bit of the backstory is he used to date the mom, the girl's mom. There's that. But also because of, you know, addiction and, you know, some other factors that we're all too used to, you know, no father was around. This guy was a predator. He took advantage of a situation. He tried to hide behind the guise of, oh, I'm being a good guy and helping out. But he knew what he was doing, and he groomed this girl. So I understand what you're asking. I'm going to answer it. But in all fairness, that shit wouldn't happen. But because I'm here, I'm right here. That being said, she didn't have the luxury. And here's the thing. I know people. You know, I'm friends with people. I've met people that didn't have that in their life. And each and every one of them fell victim to a so-called father figure or a male role model or whatever, because unfortunately, that's exactly what predators do. They look for the weak. They study their victims. They want to see, okay, who needs what. I'll be that. So, you know, so yeah, I've been reading and keeping up with this story. And see, I don't get mad at the young lady. And I'm using that term loosely because she's a girl. Like I said, I got a kid who's, I got one who's 17, one who's almost 20. And like I said, they both drive me crazy in my house right now. They don't know dick. See, they're not supposed to. They're supposed to drive me crazy, and they're supposed to come figure it out. And when something doesn't work, either you come to daddy, daddy's going to fix it or make it go away. That's mechanically, that's personally, that's what I do. If my girl's coming to me, daddy fixes it or he makes the shit go away. So I understand when you don't have that, you go searching for that. So I don't blame her for being brainwashed and trying to defend this man. But that being said, do you know how much of a turn off young people are? Like, I mean, I look at 20-somethings and I just go, ugh, and no disrespect, because you're young, you're tight, you look good physically and all that. You don't know jack shit, but you're not supposed to. You're supposed to stumble through life and make mistakes. That's why God makes you beautiful. You're young, dumb, and full of gum. That's why God does that. When you get to be a certain age, you go, wow, what was I thinking? We all do it. So think about it. At our age, I have zero in common with anybody of my children's age. Like people go, oh, my daughter's friend came over. Listen, I don't care what my daughter, let's say I was single and one of my daughters brought a gorgeous friend over. You know what I'd say? How old is your mother? That's what I would do. I've already raised these. I don't want to do it again. So how old is your mom? So this guy, and again, I mean, not being funny, but shit, look at him. he's not necessarily picking from the cream of the crop. So I get the fact that you raise your sex partner, you groom her, you make her who you want. But this guy, he's a pedophile and he's a predator. So to answer your question, first of all, you know, I love the people that I truly consider friends are few and far between. I can count them on one hand and have fingers left over. That being said, fear is healthy, and you know exactly what I mean by that. Like I said, my friends know. Just like, look, their children are my nieces and nephews, mine are theirs. So this is not even a discussion we have to have. We'll never have to have that. Now, let's say it's somebody on the outside looking in. What I would do, I promise you, I'm all about torture, and I'm not going to use a weapon because that's too quick. Now, when it comes to that, so if someone were to let 55 come to my house and ask me anything about my kid, it's like I say, hey, brother, I hope you got your will filled out. You know, it's asinine. And he's trying to defend himself with horrible grammar in English, so not only do you look stupid-er, but shit, you look like you may have made it to eighth grade in a one-room schoolhouse, you dope. Like, this guy, right. This guy looks three kinds of stupid. I'm like, damn, he's the absolute antithesis of what a stand-up man is supposed to be. Because anytime you have to go troll in the schoolyards to find a wife, and this girl has four kids. Do you know how much illegal is going on in that house? For real. And nobody even knows how old homie is. I've heard anywhere from 51 to 61. So 55 is like the average. I'm just telling you. There's a felony. I need all of y'all to come put something on my books. I don't smoke, but George, I need you to bring me cigarettes because that's currency in prison. That's my real answer if you want to know the truth. That's my answer. Because that's what you're not going to do. But again, I'm so thankful. Like I said, my daughters know who their father is. They know exactly who to call when shit gets thick. And they also know, like, you probably don't want to call my dad for this. So I'm not really worried about that coming in my house, you know. I like the fact that my kids date people their age, and then I can still do the bad boys too on my daughter's dates when they come in when my brother's in town.
Right.
Like, that's fun.
Right.
You bring an old motherfucker in here older than me in here and see what happens. Look, dog, I'm going to give you 30
seconds. You got to be at least 30.
Car pull off. I did that to one of my daughter's boyfriends. I said, you ever made love to a man? He said, no. I said, you want to? And then my daughter told him where it came from. And he was like, well, your dad's out of his mind. But I did have a machete I pulled on him. Guns, and don't do guns. That's not fun. You know, pull a machete and have a whiskey bottle or something like that. It's more fun.
I like to invite him to the house while I'm cleaning my guns.
Yeah, but you know what? All that to say, this could not, it absolutely could not happen. It could not happen without me committing a felony. But I'm here. I am present. I'm in the moment. I'm like, my daughters have to look at me every day. When I'm not in town, they call me or I call them. They have to see me every day. So thank God they're not looking. They're not out there looking for a father. They're not going, my dad's strung out, my dad's on drugs. They get mad at me. I'm not perfect, but as far as they know, I know everything. I'm everywhere, and don't try me. Because I'll be where I'll be anywhere, and I want them to feel like that. But this young lady has been, she's just been abused, and my heart goes out to her because when she gets a little bit older, she'll recognize it. But shit, he's got one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel anyway, that old fat bastard. I hate everything about that guy.
I agree.
I'm going to tell you what I think. I think we should put him on a public stage in the middle of the town, hang him, and cut his manhood off.
Execute him.
Wow.
Execute him.
There you go.
You know what it reminds me of? Fucking Color Purple. When that old bastard got seemingly pregnant, that's what it reminds me of, and that infuriates me. That's taking advantage of that. I'm sorry. It drives me. I got daughters, man. I've got daughters. Like I said, you can't, I mean, as mad as they make me and as crazy as they drive me, it's me. Like I said, I'm not going anywhere, God willing. And the simple fact of the matter, look, my daughter can't come in here right now. She's almost 20 years old. If she came in here with a dude that was 25, 26, I would probably knock his ass out because I know exactly where this kid is mentally and everything else. And I'd be like, nah. I'm like, nah, this ain't what you want to do. Well, why not, Mr. Hawkins? Because I think I said this ain't what you want to do. Bet you don't come back. I mean, I'm that guy. I'm that guy. You can't do it. Well, we were planning to go on so-and-so. I'm gonna be on the day.
I do gotta say, I don't have a problem with big age gaps, but I do have the problem with underage gaps. I don't mean just the whole legal 18,
sure,
17
sure.
thing between you and scale. I'm talking about at least 21. You know, in my book, anything under 25 is 12. Ask all employees that work for me.
Right.
They all 12.
Okay, now, Crystal, you're a woman. Now, here's the thing. Here's where I know we're probably going to look at it differently because I ain't met a woman in my life who didn't think that she was more mature and ready to date older men when she was younger because it looked cool in high school, college, and I ain't met not a near one of them who didn't find out that you weren't ready. Here's the thing. 18 is 18. 21 is 21. 25 is 25. I don't give a shit how you dress it up. You can put long hair and breasts on it. You can put a penis 6'2" and a basketball in his hand. 18 is 18. 21 is 21. There is no such thing as girls are more mature, guys. No, you're not. You're still stupid. It's just physically you have a particular look about you, and men, we're animals. Listen, here's the crazy thing about it. I know my daughter, you know, look, I know old cats look at my kids. It is what it is. I don't get mad about it. Dudes are going to be dudes. As long as you do it from a distance, I can't say anything. I'm looking at other people's daughters. The thing is, you stop it at that. Look, my daughter was a cheerleader for a Division I college, and we had to do shit to stay. You think for a second I wasn't like, wow. But again, what I say, yeah, I wonder what her mother looks like. I have nothing for anything with a one or a two in front of his A. We can't communicate. But again, I think on a different level, just like George said, I do think that huge age gaps is a problem. I don't care who it is. It's a problem. If you feel like you have to go that far below yourself, there's something wrong with you. It has nothing to do with upgrading or doing whatever. If you're 55 and you want a 25-year-old, Nick, what is wrong with you that you can't get somebody remotely close to your age demographic that you can relate to? There's something wrong with you. Sorry. I don't care. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what you put. You're a loser. Unless you're just thinking to yourself, you know, I want something young and tight. Because and you just tell me, look, I got her because I can afford her. High five. You got it. High five. You Hefner, do your thing. Shit, take them all. But if you're literally going, oh, we're in love and all that, you're a new fool. If at 50 or 40 or whatever, you're in love with anything 20 years old, you are the saddest son of a bitch on the planet. Because I promise you, I remember some of the things I said and did in my 20s. And although they were funny and some were clever, I look back now and go, ugh, if I could Marty McFly myself and go back and slap the shit out of me. But it works at 24. It doesn't work at 44. So when I see those huge age gaps, I instantly get turned off. I don't care what you say about maturity and love. It's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit. I do think that, yeah, I'm not saying you can't be. I'm not saying 10 years. I'm not saying 15 years. But you know what? If I'm 35 and seasoned and you someone is 50, that's different. But if you're 50 and I'm 19, seriously, do you know what kind of dumb shit I was doing at 19? Come on, fam. So, see, there's no justification. He's online getting, he's indignant about defending his love and all this other bullshit. I'm thinking to myself, I would probably put that guy 6 feet under. Dude, you're a pedophile, and I have nothing for them. I want the most torturous death for pedophiles. And I don't really give a shit who's not happy about me saying this. Because, again, I have children, and I have, you know, I thought of all kind of crazy shit. But I'm not worried about that because, again, I am here. I am active in my kids' life, and my kids know I can get through several states in a few hours. Don't try me on it. So, you know, that's what I'm doing. I'm making sure mine aren't out there searching for that. My kids will have daddy issues, but their daddy issues are going to be like, my father was out of his mind, but he was funny about it, but he was absolutely insane. And I'm fine with it. I want everybody to have a funny story at my funeral, but I promise you, you better not show up with Paw Paw. You come in the house with a motherfucker my age or older, talking about I'm dating him, and see if I don't knock two teeth out of both of y'all's mouth. I'll do that, man. my kids know I will. What is that? Crystal, you've got a daughter. Your daughter what? She's 22 now, 23?
The twins are 23. Aramis is 23.
Okay. So I ain't worried about Aramis. Here's why. Because if Aramis came to you and said, Mom, I'm hitting a 40-year-old, I'm high-fiving that nigga, taking him out, getting him a cigar. But if she comes in and tells me that she's dating somebody Uncle George's age or something like that, or mine, or anything like that, like I said, I'm laying hands like a Baptist preacher on both of them, and I want, look, let's talk. We going out back. We going to the woodshed, boy. We going to the woodshed. I'm just being honest with you. Look,
I can assure you.
I love looking.
That is not going down. Not on my watch. No.
Right.
No.
So she comes in with a man your age. She comes in with a dude your age, but he's like, hey, how you doing? And he's your age, but he's sitting there holding your daughter's hand, squeezing, looking at her. You know you're thinking the worst. You're thinking the worst. This dude is older to be her grandpa. This is Papa, and you the godfather. Listen, one thing I say about all my friends all know, like, you know, we've been knowing each other a lot of years, and they understand that sometimes I can be a little bit of a loose cannon. Man, you know what we mean when we say, well, I wish the motherfucker would.
Man. Yeah, that would not happen. I'd catch a case. I'd have to catch a case, like, seriously.
But
there's no way that I would let that
go. But do you understand how much of a mess, and don't get me wrong, I have very good friends and acquaintances, and I'm not making light of this because I know quite a few people, women in particular, that have, you know, suffered, that have been abused at the hands of people that they thought were friends or family or father figures or role models, and they didn't realize it. And it makes me mad on their behalf. I'm not mad at them because we do what we have to do to take care of ourselves and protect ourselves. I'm mad on behalf of them when you realize someone took advantage of another person because they were vulnerable. They had a moment of weakness, and someone came in and said, I got you, put their arm around. And and it's way more prevalent than you think. And again, so I feel like, yeah, sometimes I do think I kind of feel like the drum major for that type of individual if I meet that, because it absolutely sends me into the red. So all that to say, here's the thing, sweetheart, you know what? He ain't going to live that much longer. Shit, don't worry about it. Like I said, you'll be at this long enough. Get a good insurance policy on that fat bastard. And like I said, keep feeding pork feet and all that shit. And when his, you know, squishy ass is gone, like I said, girl, you got enough time in your life to, you know, you'll recover from this. But him, ugh, like I said, he going to hell with gasoline draws on because this fool sat there and took advantage of this little girl. That shit, Godfather, for real? Oh, man. But her mom was, you know, on drugs. Dad is nowhere around. You know, it's the same old story. It's nothing new. You know, it's the same old story, but he took advantage of the situation. But see, that was the same dude. He probably got bullied in high school, wasn't popular, all that. So he thought, you know what, I'll groom and raise my sex partner, and that way I won't have to worry about having to contend with people my age that are, you know, that understand and can kind of see through whatever bullshit, you know. But, ugh, makes me mad.
Yeah.
It makes me so mad. I mean, it makes me so mad. For real.
Yeah. It's just,
oh, yeah.
It's a bad thing all the way around, you know. It's,
yeah.
And, you know. And what chance does she have? What chance does she really have? He is running game on her. Then think about it. I've said this line before, as pitiful as it is, but I've told young ladies, you know, when you kind of mess around or they're trying to be flirtatious, you're like, sweetheart, I got lives older than you. Not only do I have T-shirts older than you, I got lives older than you. I got lives I've been telling since before you were born. This dude legitimately is feeding her crap that he probably fed her mother and other women because, again, mom is addicted and things like that, so she can't help the girl. And that's sad in and of itself. Dad ain't around. What's this young lady gonna do? She's gonna look for a father figure, straight up. So you know, but boy, who? Like I said, couldn't be me. Couldn't be me. That's all I know. It couldn't be me.
Yeah.
It couldn't be. It couldn't be me. So real quick on that. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think people see red flags and avoid this? Or they kind of walk into it. I hear over and over and over again people go, "Oh, I should have known better," or, you know, "I saw the signs," and all of that. Why do you think when all the red flags are glaring that people still keep going? You know what I mean? You keep walking right into it. Relationships, conversations, whatever the case may be. Why do you think that is? I mean, everybody has a different, and I'm sure we've all done it in some fashion.
Why?
Straight up why? Why do it?
Well, for me, when I did it, I guess you kind of ignore it.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, you ignore the red flags because you're in this mindset that whatever is wrong can be changed. Whatever is wrong can be fixed. And you don't want to be a quitter. But sometimes there is a time to, you know, fish or cut bait. And you want to keep fishing, you know, because you want to land that big fish. There are a lot of lonely people out there, a lot of lonely people. No one wants to die alone. No one wants to be lonely. But my thing is this, there is a difference between being alone and being lonely. So I'm single, I'm alone, but far from lonely and far, far from desperate. But there are a lot of lonely people out there who crave attention, who crave a human companionship, who crave it. They want it at whatever the cost. And some of them are willing to put their lives on the line just to say they have a significant other. You know, is it worth it? You know, some relationships work out. But many times relationships don't work out. Yet people stay the course because they don't want to be lonely. Nobody wants to be lonely.
But
you can't. Here's the one thing that I say all the time, and I stand on it. you go into a situation thinking you're going to change somebody, you already lost.
Exactly.
You know, if you got to change them from the beginning, then you didn't need that person in the first place because you shouldn't have to change them.
What do you think? Okay, now, George, what you're saying is interesting because New York just hit us up and said people believe they can be changed, that there can be change that comes about. So I think you two guys are speaking the same thing. Now, here's what's interesting. Okay, I'm feeling you, brother. I see what you're getting at. This is one of our, you know, our listeners. New York is definitely, speaking some truth here about red flags and people trying to basically compromise. And same thing as George is saying. I have a phrase, I guess, since I've been married the longest. I've said this for a lot of years. I go, and again, it's not misogynistic. It's just, okay, some people think they can marry someone thinking that they can be changed. Other people marry people thinking that they won't change, and you're both wrong. Now, that being said, if you are staunchly stuck on who you are, I like me, I'm good, I'm not going to change. But sometimes people marry or get together thinking, you know what, that person, oh, man, they got so much potential, but I'm going to, if I could just tweak this and tweak that. And then you've got the other person on the other hand that's like, you know what, I'm not sure who I am and all that, but I think I need to do, you know, I need to make this much of a change. And so that opposite person goes, you know what, I want you to be just like this. And then they realize, you know what, I've got growing to do. And when that person grows, they're like, how come you're not who I met? Well, you know what, we met when I was 20. I'm 34 now. I shouldn't be the same person. If you are, that means you haven't grown. So, see, both of those people are wrong. Everybody has to leave enough brackets and parameters for people to grow. You want to be the same person at your core. I agree. But I feel like, you know, unfortunately, people do go in going, damn, I can, man. It's like when you see an old car or an old house, you go, look, I can fix that joint up and make it bad. Yeah. If you see the potential in something, but if you go in with the whole idea that I'm going to completely make that different, then why did you get that particular vehicle or home or whatever? Yes, New York, growth, change is growth and growth is change. But I also feel like if you got to let someone know who you are at your core. And, you know, at your core, if you go, listen, I'm a believer in this, I'm an observer of this, I'm a practitioner of that, then that can stay the same. But if you say, look, you know what, I used to only think this, and now I don't think that anymore. I think this, that, and the third. That's where, yes, sir, I agree, the growth portion of it comes into play. But I just feel like when people see all these red flags, whether it be possessiveness, jealousy, anger, all of these red flags, but then they get – you know, maybe they pay for a lot of things, give you money, they apologize, they shower you with gifts to make you forget about all of these negative attributes. Again, I think you're walking a dangerous tightrope game, knowing what the future can hold, but you're hoping that, you know what, maybe I can weigh the good against the bad and potentially get all these good things out of it first before it goes all the way left. And you know what? That ends up with a lot of people being identified, you know, by coroners, or it ends up with a lot of people getting a sentence and things like that. And I'm being dead ass serious, because to think that you can be the person, everybody before you couldn't do it, but you can be the person. Like, I hate to say that, but people, listen to me, you're not that special. And I know that's going to piss a lot of y'all off. You're not that special. I don't give a shit if he or she told you you're the most wonderful thing in the world. You can't make anyone do anything that they don't want to do, they're not ready to do. That means if they don't want to stop abusing alcohol, drugs, you cannot stop that. And don't think that you can. Don't think that someone who professes to love you or happens to give you a kid or seven is still going to be the one to change because of you. You're not that special. Only the individual can do that. Only I can decide I want to do something. No more. You can't beg me. You can't threaten me. You can't plead. You can't barter. You can't bargain. You can't do anything unless I choose to. And I think people need to really understand that, because I think a lot of us would make better choices, and that's all of us. It doesn't matter how long you were involved. But the choices we make are just based on what we think we can potentially influence someone. You can't. You just can't do it. But I think that's why some people have that second life after the first long relationship where the kids are growing or whatever, then you go, oh, my God, I'm finally living, because you've learned so much. So I just ask questions like that all the time about the red flags, because it makes – and Crystal, I appreciate the candor when you say, look, you know, this is what we really think. This is what we really believe can happen, even if the signs are glaring. It just makes me want to know what makes people pursue the red flags, even though it's 10 of them in front of you. But you find that one silver lining and go, oh, I'm gonna chase that. It's just kind of mind-boggling, and I'm just curious. You know, I've always been curious to know why. You know, it's rhetorical, but
yeah. I think that people in general, when there is a challenge that's placed before us, rather than throw in the towel and admit defeat, you want to climb that mountain just to say that you've put forth the effort to climb it. Everybody has baggage in any relationship. You're not going to find somebody that doesn't have some hang-ups about something or doesn't have something going on in their life. You know, it's just, are you going to stick around and help them unpack the baggage? Or are you going to just, you know, watch them carry that load? So I think when people rise to that challenge, they want to be the ones to be the savior of that person, and they feel within that they can be, but they don't understand that everyone, like I said, everyone has baggage, everyone has demons that they have to face, everyone has their own fears they have to face. You can't face them for them. You can't fight someone else's battle for them. You have to fight your own battles just like they have to fight their own. You can be there, you know, to assist with encouragement, you know, being a cheerleader, letting someone know, you know, giving them inspiration, letting them know don't give up. Stop tearing each other down, but building that person up. And they feel that, you know, they want to fight the battle for them. So it's just crazy. It's kind of like this show I've been watching called Mama's Boy, and it's about these sons who still live with their mothers. It's like the mothers are in competition with the girlfriends, which makes absolutely no sense to me.
Real. That's real. It happens all the time. I've seen it. You know, that's weird. I didn't know that was a show, but I'll bet you it's – here's the thing. That's kind of one of those. Now, is it a reality show, or is it like an actual series or contrived show?
It's a reality show about these couples and how their mothers are just, you know, destroying their relationship. There's this one where the mother, they're building their dream house in his parents' backyard, and his mother got all the authority to say what she wants. She even has a guest bathroom in their dream house. She has an extra room in their dream house. When she can leave and give them their own time, their own alone time, and walk several feet into her own house. But no, she wants to be up under her son and his fiance, soon to be his wife. And the thing is, when they went to a vineyard, and it was on Mother's Day, the mother sat there taunting the girlfriend because her son was feeding her strawberries. So she's eating strawberries fed to her by her son, and Kim, his fiance, is looking on, and then the mother goes, are you jealous, Kim? It's like, who does that?
That's an Oedipal complex if it's real. I know reality TV is bullshit, but at the same time, and I know it gets played up, but truth be told, this kind of thing does happen on a lot of levels. They say oftentimes women raise their daughters and mother their sons. And just let me tell you, from a man who has seen a lot of single women, no fault of your own sometimes, a lot of single women, you don't know what to do with a boy because you've never been one. I think oftentimes women go, I want to keep him close to me so that he doesn't leave me like his dad, or I don't want anything to happen to him, and I get that. But unfortunately, because of that, it rolls over into a very uncomfortable category and situation where you're trying to make him your son husband because you don't – like, look, I understand being the man of the house because when you have responsibilities when you're younger because of that. And, again, I embraced that when I was younger. I really did. I took pride in that. But it wasn't one of those, you maintain your parent-child relationship. How weird would that have been if your mother or your grandmother tried to put you in the true place of a real man? Like, that's so crazy. Not to mention, if you're trying to extend your life and family with someone and there's competition, do you know how nuts that is? But I know it happens all the time. And, again, everybody doesn't have the same background and upbringing, but that is weird on a whole nother level. Believe it or not, there's a Kanye West had a poem, and I can't believe I'm even saying this, but it was he made it years ago. It was a poem, and then he turned it into a song. I'll see if I can find it. And it was called My Mama's Boyfriend, and it was super appropriate in the sense that growing up as his mom's son, he didn't like the guys that came around trying to date his mom, and he was kind of talking about how he didn't like them when he acted out and things like that. And I think any little boy or young man whose mom remarried or dated can understand that feeling, like you're trying to take my mom away from me, you're trying to be my dad, things like that. But I think it's so crazy when you have an adult child and you're trying to compete rather than embracing and helping mold the new woman in your family, your life, you're trying to compete. I think that is so weird, self-destructive. I think that's it's a mess in and of itself. So like I said, I probably couldn't watch that. I hate reality TV anyway, but I probably couldn't watch, at least when it's like that. Like, I love competition shows and hunting and hiking, but when they're making people look bad, I just don't like it. And that's not a good look right there. You're making families look bad. I'm not a huge fan of that. But that sounds weird. That sounds real weird.
it's ridiculous. Yeah. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's interesting. I think a lot of people probably need – I think there are a lot of people that probably should get, speak to professionals and therapists and things like that, but it's becoming more prevalent, but I think so often people are still like, oh, we don't do that. That's not our style. We shouldn't. And you really should, to really kind of work out things because, like you said, I think we all kind of go through some things. Some people work it out early. Some people never work it out. And because of that, you don't really live a fulfilling life because you're, like you were saying earlier, you're carrying this baggage around. But, yeah, something like that, I think if my son came in with a young lady and that happened, I might have a couple of lefts and rights with his mom. I just don't think you can't do that, you know what I mean? I can only imagine, how would you feel? I'm pretty sure you're cool with your in-laws and all that, but how weird would that have been if Shorty's mom and dad were trying to compete at dinner time or really, that's so wacky. Like, nobody can be who you are to your children, so why wouldn't you embrace? But again, I think I'm thinking like a rational, reasonable adult. That doesn't happen all the time.
so with that said, right quick, I got something for you. Here we are with Mama's Boyfriend.
You found it. Good man, good man. Mm-hmm.
get all your money. Things got to win now. That's what you're all about. Mama, is that moving up and out? I never liked you, nigga. Who knew one day I'd be just like you, nigga? Alright, you nigga. Alright, you nigga. When I become a mama's boyfriend. Walked in our lives, I was only five. Superman pajamas, I was super duper fly. Sitting there like, why? He at least super size. You know I'm scrutinized like, who this newer guy? I'm a mama boyfriend, I'm a little husband. I was the man of the house when it wasn't. Trying to get to know me, homie, just kill the time. You ain't interested in me, you just trying to fuck my mom. We are the voices of our parents' bad choices. The aftermath of the forces. The kids are bitter, splitters, and baby. Sisters, grandparents that don't know what to do with us. And the last thing I want to see is mama's new nigga. You old spike wearing, short chain wearing, dress shoes and jogging pants wearing, church sock wearing. When you first stop parents, about your appearance, when you get here anyway, I already got parents.
There you have it.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you listen to the words and, you know, pay attention to what he's talking about, like, and it's funny because, I don't know, some people had parents together the whole time, some didn't, but if you ever had, like, if your mom ever dated somebody, that's how you felt. He's like, listen, I'm the man of the house, why are you trying to come in and take over, whether you 5 or 9 or whatever, and it's difficult to have another man come in and start saying, hey, look, these are the rules and things like that. So I feel like, you know, in spite of how wacky and weird that dude is, he's actually pretty smart. He's just a flake. But he was spot on with that particular thing. You know, like I said, they say most geniuses are a little bit left field. The guy is brilliant. He's left field. But when I heard that, I was like, man, I can relate. Because, again, before my mom got remarried, you know, there was a boyfriend or two, some you like, some you don't. But then when you're a kid, you're thinking, man, I know what you're here for. Like, don't try to be cool with me, you know, and send little man to bed and things like that. So, like I said, that's but that's mama's boyfriend. So that's pretty apropos.
real quick before TB brings in the close of the show. I just want to throw it out there. Those of you who may be watching it or listening in the right areas, we will be in Florida, West Palm Beach, come Friday. Getting it in down there, and then getting prepped up and ready for our big concert that we're doing on April 2nd in West Palm Beach. So we'll be down there Friday, getting things in line for that. And we will be out in the evening time to enjoy a little bit of nightlife before we go. We probably won't enjoy too much because we got to be up Saturday morning, back on the plane, and we'll be in Las Vegas on Sunday. And we'll be doing a show from there, and we will be bringing you some footage for that. You'll get to check that out next week. And that's what's up.
That is what's up. That is what's up. So it looks like it's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. But sadly, our time tonight is done. So everyone, say your goodbye, and then I'll go in with the ending note. Roger?
Boom. So check it. Look. See, this is how much of a wimp I am. I was supposed to be gone earlier trying to get ready to fly out, and I couldn't leave. So all that to say, love you guys. Everybody take care of yourself. Anyway, we're going to see you guys from West Palm. We're going to definitely get some footage and do some streaming and things like that. If you're nearby, man, it would be great. Come hang with us or at least reach out, because we'll definitely have some footage for you this time next week. And like George said, we'll be getting ready, kind of making plans for the festival and what have you next, you know, next April. So all I have to say, you know what, love you guys. Take care of yourselves. I'm out. I got to be on the plane in about 2 hours. So stay up. Take care of yourself. I'll see you again.
Hi, George.
Yep. Raj, thanks for hanging in there for the whole show. I know you got your plane taking off before anybody else's.
Yeah,
but nevertheless, I'll see you, Crystal. No, I ain't going to see you. You come in at midnight on tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I'm going to be somewhere. I'm going to be 10 sheets to the wind by then. But I will probably be thoroughly inebriated at that point. But nevertheless, I will see y'all Thursday night, Friday morning. We're going to do what we do. And to our listeners, you know me. You know what I say. In the great words of Don Cornelius, peace, love, and hair grease.
Yes, yes, yes. It is that time again, guys. Thank you so much for rocking with us tonight. You've been listening to CB and the Boys. We come to you every Wednesday as your midweek motivator, bringing you music, conversation, motivation, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So hopefully you guys had a lot of fun tonight. You can catch our playback on iHeartRadio as well as Apple Podcasts. You can also watch our show live on YouTube as well as Facebook, and you can also watch the playbacks of those live shows. You can see us live and in color in all of our glory. So thank you so much for being with us tonight. Don't forget, if you want to go on the cruise with us, just drop us a line and we will get the information to you. We're going to on the Royal Caribbean cruise to Labadee, Haiti on April 5th, right after our event for Mrs. Stella Pyfrem on April 2nd in West Palm Beach, Florida. So these are events that you definitely don't want to miss. And if you're interested in being a part or coming to the event, definitely drop us a line and we will get you all the information that is needed. Also, we have an NFL track. So if you are interested in showing your love for the Kansas City Chiefs, then hit us up at cbandtheboys2019@gmail.com, and we will get all the information to you of what you need to do and how you can be featured on this track. It's a good one, so you don't want to miss out on that. If you're willing to invest in yourself, and we're willing to give you a chance. So definitely, definitely hit us up. Also, shout out to BTS. Continue to doing amazing things. If you missed the Permission to Dance live on stage, they did a great job. It was an online concert. It was a great concert. And don't forget, they have another concert that is coming up in person, live in person in L.A., Denver. And we'll get all the particulars for that if you're interested in going to that. If you love K-pop like I do and you love BTS, you definitely don't want to miss out. So thank you once again for coming and listening to our show. Your love and support mean the world to us. Don't forget to go to YouTube as well as Facebook Instagram, like us, and subscribe. The more likes and subscriptions we get, the more we can do more and bring you more. And we definitely want to bring you more. So with that, we will see you next week. And we will also have footage from West Palm Beach as well as Vegas. Please look forward to that. So once again, happy birthday to our fabulous Miss Mimi Acosta. We miss you, Mimi, and we'll see you back next week. So everyone, enjoy the rest of your night. Have a happy day and a happy, happy Halloween. Use common sense, be careful, and if need be, wear a mask. All right, so to take us home, we've got the collaboration of Coldplay with BTS and My Universe. And you guys are our universe. We love you. Your love and support mean the world. Don't forget to like us and subscribe. This is CB signing off. Bye-bye. And here is BTS with Coldplay and My Universe.
When the morning comes, I watch you rise. There's a paradise that couldn't capture that bright infinity inside you.
매일 밤 내게 날아가 꿈이란 것도 믿은 채 나 웃으며 너를 만나. Never ending forever, baby.
We are made of each other, baby.